Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, for these folks, Lord, that are here, come out on this Monday to hear your word. I pray, Lord, that you give me that zeal, give me that spirit, your spirit, Lord, that can only discern what's of you, Lord, and give it to them, Lord. I just pray you use me today and tonight, Lord, and I just pray you bless us, Lord. Thank you for the good time we've had, Lord, the good messages. Continue to bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a cold, so y'all bear with me. I've been thinking lately of the church in general. When I say the church in general, I'm talking about not just Okno. I'm talking about down there in Mexico, everywhere in the world, the true church. I'm talking about the people that have the sound doctrine like this church here. You know, I think we need to there's that first love that we are constantly seeking after to get again. It's that first love that we're wanting to have again. And it seems like it just doesn't always come like we'd like. And I think about one thing that will help us regain, that joy, that strength, that power, that walk with God, that closeness to Him, and that not being far apart from it is becoming or being zealous in God's work. Doing God's work because God told us to do it. Being zealous. And I think an example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. The ultimate example. He is the real man. He is the man of examples. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ show us many times? Besides humility and things along this line, like many people like to have him pictured as just a man that's humble, a man that's meek, which he was, and it's a great example of a man that every man ought to be, even a woman ought to be. But one thing he shows me, he was a man that stood for truth. He was a man that caused the division for the right cause. In other words, he was a man, God in the flesh. He was a man that took a stand. He was obedient unto death, and he took a stand. Remember that time when he turned over the tables of the merchants? You know, I don't know, brother, if we need to get to a level where we get into a physical thing like the Lord did, but I think we can learn from His example to take a stand for truth. Take a stand for truth, brothers. I think examples that have come to my life lately, taking a stand for truth, apart in you know, looking at our lives, taking a stand against false doctrine. I mean it. You know, I think we've been leaning a little bit too much on no condemnation. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm for it. I'm for no condemnation. You know, because Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. I'm for this. And I'm also for this. There's also this other talk. We need to be those that have mercy. And I believe that, brothers, because God had a lot of mercy on me. He could have killed my wife. He could have killed me trying to protect her afterwards. Praise the Lord! Hey, that was wisdom. Send a woman. She run them all. Anyway, I won't get off on that. No condemnation. Have mercy. Brother, yeah, that's right. Brothers, I think sometimes we get to leaning back the other way, thinking of that we shouldn't or we shouldn't have this no condemnation spirit, or we should have more mercy. Over the years, the Lord showed me that I need to have more mercy, and I need to be not to be condemning. But brother, there's another thing. When you have zeal for God's work and zeal for God's doing, and a lot of people will misunderstand you when you take a stand and tell somebody in their face that you are wrong. Even though it hurts them, you're wrong. You're against the Lord Jesus Christ for doing that.
You're an antichrist. Many antichrists shall come. Not just one, many. What's that mean? They're against Christ. You're not for me, you're against me. Tell them like it is. Tell them like it is. Maybe they'll go home thinking about it. Maybe they'll go home wrestling in their bed about it and saying, you know what? Maybe I am against Christ. A lot of people don't like me because even when my brother came last year. I don't know if y'all remember, he came last year and I preached a message on judgment. He says, man, every time you come around, every time, I gotta hear judgment from you. And then you give that face, you get all, because me and him used to fight all our lives. So I don't know if that's was part of it, but anyway, I hear it from people in Mexico. I can hear from brethren. Brother, you don't know what's going on in the heart. You don't know what's going on when it comes to taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because every idle word I'll give account for. And I'll give account for what's in my heart and what I did and how I did it for the spirit I did it in. And so will you. So who are you to judge on that matter? If you got something that you see it's a little wrong, well, let's talk about it. That you see that's wrong in a brother or sister, well, let's talk about it. But brother, if the man takes a stand, he says he's gonna stand before God for it, hey, you better just say, thank you, Lord, I did what I could do, let me just pray for my brother and go on my merry way and let him do what he has to do before his Lord Jesus Christ. Zeal! The Lord Jesus got that table and flipped it over. He said, what are you doing in my father's house? What are you doing in my house? What are you doing? Man, what are you doing? My house ain't a house of merchandise. And what are we doing? We becoming pacifists? We becoming Anabaptists? We becoming Mennonites? What are we becoming? Now, I don't want to badmouth anybody that might have some knowledge of these folks. And I know they some good folks. I've heard some good things about them, but sometimes we can lean towards being, leaning back on the other side of being pacifists, that we lose our zeal. We lose our drive, our ability to, what's that? We just lose that zeal and we become cold. You know, your zeal provokes somebody else, you know? Your zeal provokes somebody else. Remember old brother Dave Jones? You think maybe most of y'all don't. I ain't doing nothing what he used to do around here. He'd get them big old long legs, he'd kick it around your head there, brother Jay. And then he'll say, booger, and he'll say a bunch of other stuff, but you know what? He was zealous! And he took a stand, and that man taught me a lot of things. He taught me a lot of things, and I remember his stories about, preaching down there in the South, with black men, and black congregation, how they were just so elated by his zealousness, his way of being on fire for the Lord. Zealous. Don't put somebody's fire out. These brothers are being blessed over there in Querétaro. Brothers, don't you ever take it wrong. I'm trying to put your fire out. Because I'm never going to try to put nobody's fire out because everything will give account before God. Like my wife was saying about Ms. Berlin. I do read your emails. I didn't read the second one, but I read part of it. You know what? You know what she's doing? She's stirring up her gift. You know, she's a woman of age. I don't know how many years she has left, but you know what, brother? Now, brother, stand this one, please. It's on tape. Anyway, sister, you're doing right. You're doing right. You're doing right you're stirring up the gift. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you and I doing? What are we doing? Preaching on the streets can get tiresome. We lose our voices. We lose our tempers. We do things that we shouldn't do sometimes. We're tempted and tossed just like you are. But you know what? We need to stay in God's Word because that's our only, besides seeking God in prayer, on our knees, humbly before God, brother, a ministry is what you need. Maybe you're not called to be a missionary. I don't know. But you need to find your ministry. You know why all these seats ain't filled with all the brethren? And it's, I know some got legitimate reasons or whatever, but you know why they're not filled with some that could be here? Because they're not zealous. They're not zealous. Some of y'all here and some of y'all that have been faithful. I see these sisters here that have been singing since the day I was brought to this church. You know what's got them here? That gift of singing. Over there in Morelia, there's a brother named Lorenzo, and he's been with us for quite a while now. And I took him to Salamanca recently, and we went over there, and there's a young brother it's a long story, I'm trying to make it short. This guy got saved. He's younger than Lorenzo, and he's up preaching, and Lorenzo sees his fire and this and that, and Lorenzo, he doesn't have a whole bunch in Morelia and I'm talking about besides my co-laborers, John and Bill, and myself. He don't have nobody else to see, to give him example out of a Mexican brother. We go over there to this Salamanca, and there's this young guy, he gets up, boy, he's on fire and everything. And then I take him another time, and he sees him again, and this time the young man's playing the guitar. You know what Lorenzo did? He went back, because he had some lessons from Karen, I believe, and Debbie. He had these lessons, and he just let that guitar down. I don't know why, but he just let it down for a while. He just practiced, but then when he saw that young man in Salamanca, he says, I'm gonna do that. He's starting to play. You know what? He's stirring up his ears. Is that why you come in here and you say, oh, like Brother Dale was saying, I got to hear the preaching again, or this and that, or I don't know what I'm going to be. I'm going to be rebuked, or I don't know what they're going to tell the same old story. I know it already. I don't know what your attitude might be. You know why? Why you probably have that problem, brother or sister? It's because you're not zealous.
Amen.
You forget your example, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 59. We heard earlier from Norm, the putting on that armor of God. I believe that. I believe that's just, if I'm going to eat in the morning, if I'm going to get up and get some strength physical, I need to get that spiritual strength. I believe it. You don't think you're getting nothing, but you are. You get up and you read that Bible, you pray, you are. You get your family in a devotion, and you get them to hearing the word, and you see them encouraged, that encourages you, that provokes you. They're getting blessed, that blesses you. Isaiah 59, it says in verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. I saw this verse as the Old Testament verse of putting on the armor of God. We see the righteousness as a breastplate, a helmet of salvation. Then we see garments of vengeance and clad with zeal as a cloak. Vengeance, brother. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But you know what? He says this, we can put this on, garments of vengeance. You know what? You got a flesh just like me. I don't know whose is worse, yours or mine. But you know what? It's bad. It's wicked. It ain't no good. It ain't gonna get no better till the day it turns to dust or the Lord Jesus Christ comes and changes. You just might as well understand that. Don't you listen to all these other guys that say that you can live without sin because it's not true. Well, we won't get into all that right now, but it's not true. Your flesh and my flesh is no good, but you can put on the garments of vengeance. And two, you think about that, the garments of vengeance. We have the devil that we can really, really give a hard time. Oh, I say, I don't know how lightly I say that, but I don't want to say it too lightly, because you know what he needs? He needs trouble. He needs trouble because he's doing a lot of trouble. He's trying to do trouble in your house. He's doing that trouble in your house, right? Between the marriages. He's troublesome. He troubles your mind, sister. He troubles my mind. Oh, he puts ideas. He's constant. And a lot of that we can't just put on the devil. A lot of that is our own, that comes out of our own heart. The garments of vengeance and the cloak, and clad with zeal as a cloak. Brother, we got some tools to win. We already got the helmet of salvation by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Huh? We already have the breastplate of righteousness, because it's only the Lord's righteousness that saves us. You already have that. By faith, you put on that armor of God. And you also put on the garment of vengeance. And you also put on that cloak of zeal. Some of us are leaving the cloak. We like vengeance. We're going against sin. I know some of y'all are living for God. You wouldn't be here if you wasn't, many of you. You're living for God. But what about that cloak of zeal? Who was it that gave you that example of a prayer on your face? Who was it? Leanne? Amen. It was zeal. There was zeal. Is there still zeal? How about you, sister? Play that guitar, sister Bernie. That's zeal. Brother Danny. Oh, brother, he's singing over there with zeal. Even this kid is starting to sing with zeal.
That's for the glory of God. Your, it says in 2 Corinthians 9, I won't look at it now, but your zeal provokes somebody else.
Are we getting so pacifist? Are we getting so formal in our messages? You know what I'm saying? When I say formal, you know, you're just right. So we're going to say, boy, that was a good message. Are we letting what God's put in us come out?
You know what? Moving to the ministry from preaching the walls, like John was saying Sunday, the walls, or one of y'all were saying, might have been Marcos. But we were preaching walls. We were preaching streets, you know, when I'm saying walls, I'm saying we were going street by street by street by street, and we're still doing that in the evenings. But we were preaching street by street, and people would just shut their windows. Some you wouldn't even see no more. Some would put on their music. Some would call us bad names. I mean, very few came out to hear us. And you know, we've had some few that came out to hear us. And you know, of those few, many of those were Christians already. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. But where's the loss? So we moved over to preaching in the Tiangis in the morning. And you know what? That provokes my zeal when I see souls. When I see people. Maybe I'm just too carnal. I don't know. I don't live enough by faith. I know someone's back there listening when I'm preaching to a wall. I know somebody's back there listening. I know God can use that word. It can drop it in their heart. I know that. And we're not getting away from that. But you know what? I like throwing my bait where there's a lot of fish. And we've had some visits. We've had some studies. We can't boast on numbers. We can't give you big pictures. We can't do a bunch of this. But you know what? We're doing some fishing, and we're doing some fishing where it's a lot of fish. And you know what? That provokes my zeal. What are you doing to provoke your zeal? What are you doing to provoke your brother's zeal? Well, I'll make it short. It's getting late. Luke 4. You know, I look forward to the day that I'll leave Morelia for another town. You know, for another town, do the same work in another town. I've been there 4 years. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too fidgety, or I don't know what. But maybe God won't have me leave there for a while. I don't know. But you know what? The Lord Jesus is my example in that too. And I see his zeal in it. Look at there. Luke 4 says in 43 and 42, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." They wanted him to stay. They wanted him to stay. Has anybody wanted you to stay? Maybe you're a good giver. I don't know. They want you to stay. Do you have this desire to preach to other cities? You've been preaching in San Antonio, and you're ready for another city? Jesus had that desire. You know, I remember when when my field was sown. I knew my field in San Antonio, and in what I had, my ability, my reach in Texas was sown, was watered. In other words, wherever I was going, I was giving out tracts, I was witnessing, I was doing God's work. It's when that zeal was that first love. It's when I was in my youth. And then I could just say, man, this is it. You know, this is it. People, you need to hear about Jesus. You need to know what he's done for you. He did it all. He paid the price. And that's when I planted, watered, and did all this. And I said, you know what? It's time for another field. Some of you, God wants to pick up and say, go to another city. You know, you make sure on this, but some of you, God wants to use somewhere else. We've been praying for laborers, but it could be that you don't care for your zeal. You don't care. You don't want to be provoked. You don't want to do God's will. Could it be that? Jesus is our example. He's our example. He must needs go. They said, no, stay. He says, no, I must needs go. What are you looking for? You want your reward here? You want the pat on the back here? Or you want to do God's will? If he's telling you to go, go! Go! Souls need to be saved. He must preach the gospel. If you're going for money, for a job, for what you think is easy living or whatever, forget it. Just forget it. But if you have a must needs attitude preaching the gospel and God's calling you and you're not doing it, souls are perishing. I don't think we believe in hell enough. Can you look in your heart and say, I deserve hell? Or I deserve hell? I'll say, well, I'm living better now. That's fine. But can you say that you deserve hell? You say, well, look here. Preacher, you probably deserve hell, but I'm not that bad. Well, you know what? You're going to split hell wide open because there's none good. And if you don't see yourself bad, you're going to go to hell. I know this type of preaching doesn't go over on everybody, but maybe there's somebody here that's not saved. You know, I'm seeking for you. I'm fishing for you for the Lord's sake and for your sake that you get saved. Are you saved? Can you say you know you're going to go to heaven when you die? I mean, not say it only, but believe it in your heart. I'm saved. I'm going to glory. I failed. I failed miserably. I'm no good. There's nothing in me, but Jesus is good. The Lord Jesus paid it all. Can you say that?
Amen.
If you can't say that, you better examine what you're trusting in, because there's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. It ain't your religion. It ain't your good works. It ain't your baptism. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He paid it all. What do you think he died for? An example? That's one of the biggest things. But you know what? He died for us to save us. Where would I be? Where would I be? Where would you be? Brother, do you have that? Must need go somewhere else? That zeal. What happened to your zeal? What happened when you were saying, Amen! Praise the Lord! How was it when you used to go preaching? But now it's a hard thing. And it does get hard, brothers. We've been doing it day after day, year after year. Don't let me try to paint you a picture of roses, because it's not like that. But you know what? I want to stir the gift of God in me. I said, you know what? If I don't, I'm going back. I'm saying I won't be lost, but I'll mess up my life and I'll mess up my family's life. I'll mess up probably a lot of the church's life. Just do a lot of mess. I don't want that. And you know, if a man think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I know I can fall, and you can too, brothers. But what can we do to avoid falling? Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Write those emails, sister. Play that guitar, sister. Sing those songs, sister. Say amen every once in a while to the preacher. Give him some encouragement. I mean, do something. Stir yourself up. Time is short. I don't know how short. Look at these gray hairs. That woman right there getting me. Now's my turn. Turning these stories around. Women, women, women. We love y'all. That's why I married her. Brethren, seriously, zeal. We need to get provoked, because we'll become dead as nails. Zeal. What are you doing to have yourself provoked? What are you doing to provoke somebody else? You aren't saved here. I done said it. If you don't trust in Jesus, he's the only way to heaven. You will go to hell, and it will be for eternity. If you're saved, you can rejoice and say, dear Lord Jesus, you paid it all. How about you, you brother, that God's calling? Do you have needs to go to another city? Amen. Let's pray.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, number 93. We're going to pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, it's by your mercy that we've stood this long. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to go on and finish the race that's before us. Lord, help these brothers and sisters. Lord, they're tired. They've been whipped, and they failed you, Lord. We've all had, Lord. I just pray you encourage us, you strengthen us, you help us, Lord, to seek your will and to be zealous for you, Lord. Lord, help us not to forget this was a reality when you turned those tables over, Lord, and you had a zeal for your house. Help us to have that type of zeal, Lord. Lord, to understand with wisdom how to do things. Be zealous for you, Lord. Lord, if there's one that's not saved, I ask you to deal with them. Or if there's more, Lord, just deal with them and touch their hearts and help them to trust in you, Lord, because you paid it all, Lord. I just thank you for that. And do save souls. Bless the rest of the conference in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.